Okay, let's go to the Hodges Glass, Little Rock Glass Hotline. And what we're doing today is all about Dardanelle. Of course, you got the Mount Nebo Chicken Fry this Saturday, the 79th edition of it. One of the well-known residents in of Dardanelle is one and only Tom Cotton, our U.S. Senator. Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
I'm good. It's glad to be on. Glad to be talking about the chicken fry. Many old fond memories as a kid.
Yeah,
we're here this weekend too.
Yeah, we haven't seen you. We've had you probably, Roger, I think we had you back in studio several years ago. I know you're super busy, but Roger was really disappointed.
Really disappointed, Senator, if I may.
Because you made it to Bucky's, but couldn't make it by here today. But he is going to be on the Mount Nebo.
Well, now, and if I'm not mistaken, you were also this past week, weren't you, at Summerwood Sports Family Market with the Hendricks family? Were you there?
I'm sorry, what was that?
With the Family Market grocery stores, the Hendricks family, were you there at Summerwood Sports as well in Benton?
I was not there. I was not there.
You were not there.
I was at the Bucky's.
Oh.
I was at the Bucky's, though, and I got to say, the Bucky's opening might have had as many people as Dardanelle does.
There's no doubt.
There is.
I thought he was at the Family Market. I apologize.
So, Senator, tell us what it was like growing up Dardanelle, obviously before you became a national figure. I know that you were a tall, lanky. I don't think you played football, but you played basketball, right?
I started specializing in basketball, in junior high. I played when I was a younger kid. You know, I played football through seventh grade. I played baseball through Little League. But once I started, I realized I was going to be a little bit taller than most of the other kids, and had a chance to play in high school. I started focusing on basketball, so I played that through junior high, and then started all 3 years of high school. But Dardanelle was a great place to grow up. I had a great aunt and a grandmother in town, and I'd spend most summers with them riding bikes back and forth between their homes, going down to the riverbanks, hanging out with my friends, playing wiffle ball, playing pickup basketball. Then, of course, grew up on a farm just outside of Dardanelle, where my folks still live, but always enjoyed the chicken fry. Nice to go up on the mountain. You get a few degrees cooler than you do down in the valley.
Sure.
Get to go to the swimming pool, you know, play hoops up there. See all the hang gliders, which always mesmerized me when I was a kid. The guys just running off of Sunrise Point and gliding out across the valley.
It is, and I don't know, we got to send that picture to Justin, Roger. Senator, you know, whatever time of the morning it is, when those clouds come up and you basically looks like you could walk out on a bed of clouds, it's remarkable. I think it's one of the most beautiful scenes in the state. It's very unique, and it's really beautiful. It's amazing that this tradition of the chicken fry has been going on since 1948.
Yeah, it's a great tradition. It always attracts families and kids from not just Dardanelle and Yell County, but all across the region and the state. I'd encourage all your listeners, if they have a chance to make their way to Dardanelle. Like I said, it's a little bit cooler up there. The park is in great shape. You know, there's been a lot of improvements over the last 10 years or so. The trails have been improved. Now it's good, not just for running, but for biking and also hiking as well. Cabins are probably all sold out, but you know what? If they're not, you should look into getting a cabin. And if not this weekend, then some other weekend. We don't do as much as we used to, but Ann and I used to love to get a cabin up there and just get away for a weekend, get away from all the busyness of the political world and relax up there. But it's a beautiful little island in the river valley. So I encourage everyone, if they get a chance, to come out this weekend for the chicken fry or just enjoy Mount Nebo State Park whenever you have a moment.
We're visiting with Senator Tom Cotton. We were making the point, Tom, we were over at Hope for the Hope Watermelon Festival. It was their 50th. Anniversary for that, for that festival. And you look at the names who come out of there, Bill Clinton, Mac McClarty, Mike Huckabee, and more. And you guys have done pretty well for yourself here in this community as far as notable people. Yourself, U.S. Senator John Daly, who is basically an international figure. He's known all over the world. And James Lee Witt, who was obviously head of FEMA under Bill Clinton. So there's been some pretty well-known. You guys have got something in the water here as well, Dardanelle.
Maybe so. I definitely am number two at best behind John Daly in terms of international celebrity. But yeah, he's something else. He was a great golfer, and he's been a celebrity for a very long time.
Are you? I know you're a basketball guy, but do you get? Do you follow the Razorbacks or any of the other schools in the state? Obviously, you got a new coach, and Coach Silverfield. We had him at the Touchdown Club the other day. Or do you have time? I know you're in the middle of a heated political race, but do you have time to get ready to watch some football?
Then before you answer, Senator. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, before you answer, there's only one team in the state. He's trying to be politically correct. I don't have to be.
I try to follow him as much as I can. It's been a while since I've been able to make it to the game. But, you know, reasons for optimism, I think. Coach Silverfield obviously has a very distinguished pedigree. He did a great job at Memphis. And he's got a lot of great new talent coming in. I mean, this is, you know, unlike in the olden days, you know, when you have a new coach come in. And they have a lot of players that were from the previous system. We have, something like 75 or 80 new players.
Right, yeah.
And it really allows him to imprint not just his system and style of play, but his culture as well. And I always think that's good for a football program. So it's been a few rough years, but I'm optimistic for the Razorbacks this fall.
Well, it's interesting, of all the things, obviously we see you on the national news, you know, you're a national player when it comes to a lot of the political themes that people are dealing with and are talking about. And one, oddly enough, is football in Congress and this bill that's on both sides, both the House and the Senate side, trying to pass to help out the mess that college sports, especially football, is dealing with. What are your thoughts on the bills there on the Senate side and, you know, expectation and thoughts on what that bill might be able to do if you could get it passed?
Yeah, David, I think we're moving in the right direction on it. I expect that we're going to vote on it next month when we're back in session. Something needs to happen because it's not just football and basketball, the two big money-making sports. It's also all the other sports, you know, sometimes called the individual sports or the Olympic sports. There's a moment when we almost lost tennis at Arkansas. I think that was a big wake-up call. I remember talking to Coach Calipari about that and how much he had heard from his fellow coaches around the country that they didn't want to see sports like tennis, like golf, like track and field, like volleyball fall by the wayside because the revenue skew was going even more to football and basketball as it had been. So I think there are some reasonable steps that we can agree on between the two parties and also that will probably benefit the fans as well, limiting the international eligibility, for instance, from people who have been professionals overseas. That's something that Coach Calipari and I have talked about a lot,
right.
About controlling the number of kind of unlimited transfers. So there's some degree of continuity. I mean, right now you have more continuity, for instance, in Major League Baseball or the NFL than you do in college football and college basketball. So when, you know, you get excited about signing a freshman or, as the case may be, getting one transfer in, and then you know, okay, this is someone that I can follow and I can celebrate with my kids for 2 or 3 years. Like, I can buy a jersey for my son of this player and know that he's going to be able to wear it for the next 3 years. I do think there are steps that we can take. We want to make sure that we're protecting college sports, that college athletes are being reasonably compensated, and that we're giving all the opportunities at all the schools, not just University of Arkansas or the other big SEC schools, but the smaller schools across the state as well, to offer a full suite of athletic programs for student athletes.
Yeah, I we didn't have that. I think you probably, when you became a congressman or U.S. senator, rather, I don't think you saw that. You had that on your bingo card to be dealing with
the
college sports
all.
Mess. Yeah, it's amazing. Talking with Brad Taylor, my old teammate, in the simple era that we played in, where you didn't get paid, you just got an education and you got a $25 washing check to do your laundry on the weekends. That was it. But you know what? We had a great time and have great memories, and I wish we could. Hopefully all this will be put into check at least a little bit, so I appreciate the effort that's happening on the Hill.
These kids nowadays don't realize what they are missing out on.
Yeah,
all they're thinking about is how much am
money.
I going to get paid?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of those relationships like you have with Brad and Joe and those guys, they're not going to exist in 30 years. They're just not.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. Yeah, the kind of unlimited transfers year after year after year. Again, I think it kind of, as I mentioned, I think it really disrupts fan enjoyment of the team, where it's hard to have a rooting interest in specific players, and especially, you know, like if you take your kid to, you know, one of the open practices, you get some photos taken, you get signatures, and then the player is gone in the next year. So I think the continuity is important for fans. But I think, David, as you mentioned, it's important for players as well. I mean, we've all heard the stories in professional sports about the disparity and friction that can be caused when you have a couple superstar players who are making eight figures and you have a bunch of players making league minimum. It's one thing when that's you're talking about grown men who are in their late 20s and 30s. I mean, here we're still talking about young men and women, 18, 19, 20 years old. And frankly, there's also a lot of opportunity for exploitation by unscrupulous players in the field who are, you know, taking too big a cut of the monies that the players are getting. They're not setting up these players for success by reminding them, like, hey, you know, this is money is may not be there for the next 40 years. Like, you need to be mindful about how you're going to spend this money, how you're going to manage your taxes, how you're going to invest for retirement. I mean, you've got a skill that allows you to be highly compensated when you're in your late teens and early 20s. That skill is not going to be present for the rest of your life, and you're going to have to do something else to make a living and support your family. We should be putting aside a nest egg here and allowing it to grow. I mean, unfortunately, I think a lot of players just aren't getting that kind of sound advice unless they have it from their parents or they just, you know, have a good head on their shoulders.
Yeah, well said, for sure. I do want to say, speaking of parents, as we let you go, Tom, that your parents are salt of the earth people, great, great people, and I know they're so well respected in this community. Your sister's outstanding, too. You got a great family, and I know the folks here in Dardanelle are proud of you and appreciate all that you've done and accomplished and more to come. And we appreciate you jumping on with us. So we just wanted, since it was sort of going to be a day about Dardanelle and the Chicken Fryer Fest, and we got to get Tom Cotton on. And so we appreciate you in the middle of your crazy race to join us, man, for sure.
Glad to do it. Thank you very much for the kind words about my family, and hope everyone enjoys their time in Dardanelle. Hope everyone can come out to the Chicken Fry this weekend.
Awesome. All right, Tom Cotton. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton.